Hare Krishna. We welcome you on the most auspicious occasion of Lord Nrisimhadev's appearance anniversary.
We welcome you in Houston, Maharaj.
It's a great pleasure to be here with all of you on this auspicious occasion. So we will read a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam about Lord Nrisimhadev. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Please repeat. Tripistapa,
Tripistapa,
Urubayaha,
Urubayaha,
Sa,
Sa,
Nrisimha Rupam,
Nrisimha Rupam,
Kritva,
Kritva,
Brahmat,
Brahmat,
Brukuti,
Brukuti,
Dumstra,
Dumstra,
Karala,
Karala,
Vaktram,
Vaktram,
Daitya Indram,
Daitya Indram,
Ashu,
Ashu,
Gadaya,
Gadaya,
Abhipattantam,
Abhipattantam,
Arat,
Arat,
Uro,
Vipatya,
Vidadhara,
Nakai,
Spurantam. Tripistaporubayaha sanashingha rupam.
Tripistaporubayaha sanashingha rupam.
Kritva brahmad burukuti damstrakarala vaktram.
Kritva brahmad burukuti damstrakarala vaktram.
Daityandram ashu gadaya bipatantam arad.
Daityandram ashu gadaya bipatantam arad.
Uro nipatya vidadara nakai spurantam.
Uro nipatya vidadara nakai
Tripistaporubayaha sanashingha rupam.
Tripistaporubayaha sanashingha rupam.
Kritva brahmad burukuti damstrakarala vaktram.
Kritva brahmad burukuti damstrakarala vaktram.
Daityandram ashu gadaya bipatantam arad.
Daityandram ashu gadaya bipatantam arad.
Uro nipatya vidadara nakai spurantam.
Uro nipatya vidadara
Tripistaporubayaha sanashingha rupam.
Tripistaporubayaha sanashingha rupam.
Kritva brahmad burukuti damstrakarala vaktram.
Kritva brahmad burukuti
Tendram Ashu Gadaya Bipatantam Arad. Puro Nipatya Vidadaranakai Spurantam. Tripistapa. The demigods. Urubayaha. One who vanquishes great fears. Sa. He. The personality of Godhead. Nṛsiṃharūpaṁ, assuming the incarnation Nṛsiṃha. Kṛtvā, doing so. Brahmat, by rolling. Bhrukuti, eyebrows. Dhamstra, teeth. Karala, greatly fearful. Vatram, mouth. Daitya Indram, the king of the demons. Ashu, immediately. Gadaya, with club in hand. Abhipattantam, while falling down. Arat, nearby. Urau, on the thighs. Nipatya, placing on. Vidadhara, pierced. Nakai, by the nails. Spurantam, while challenging. Translation. The personality of Godhead assumed the incarnation of Nṛsiṃhadeva in order to vanquish the great fears of the demigods. He killed the king of the demons, Hiranyakasipu, who challenged the Lord with a club in his hand. By placing the demon on his thighs and piercing him with his nails, rolling his eyebrows in anger, and showing his fearful teeth and mouth. Please repeat. The personality of Godhead.
The personality of Godhead.
Assumed the incarnation.
Assumed the incarnation.
Of Nṛsiṃhadeva.
In order to vanquish.
The great fears of the demigods. He killed the king of the demons. Hiranyakasipu.
Who challenged the Lord.
With a club in his hand.
By placing the demon on his thighs
and piercing him with his nails, rolling his eyebrows
in anger
and showing his fearful teeth and mouth. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The history of Hiranyakasipu and his great devotee son, Prahlad Maharaj, is narrated in the 7th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Hiranyakasipu became very powerful by material achievements and thought himself to be immortal by the grace of Brahmaji. Brahmaji declined to award him the benediction of immortality because he himself is not an immortal being. But Hiranyakasipu derived Brahmaji's benediction in a roundabout way, almost equal to becoming an immortal being. And Hiranyakasipu was sure that he would not be killed by any man or demigod or any kind of known weapon, nor would he die in day or night. The Lord, however, assumed the incarnation of half man and half lion, which was beyond the imagination of a materialistic demon like Hiranyakasipu. And thus, keeping pace with the benediction of Brahmaji, the Lord killed him. He killed him on his lap, so that he was killed neither on the land, nor the water, nor in the sky. The demon was pierced by Nrisimha's nails, which were beyond the human weapons imaginable by Hiranyakasipu. The literal meaning of Hiranyakasipu is one who is after gold and soft bedding, the ultimate aim of all materialistic men. Such demonic men, who have no relationship with God, gradually become puffed up by material acquisitions and begin to challenge the authority of the Supreme Lord and torture those who are devotees of the Lord. Prahlad Maharaj happened to be the son of Hiranyakasipu, and because the boy was a great devotee, his father tortured him to the best of his ability. In this extreme situation, the Lord assumed the incarnation of Nrisimhadev just to finish the enemy of the demigods. The Lord killed Hiranyakasipu in a manner beyond the demon's imagination. Materialistic plans of godless demons are always frustrated by the all-powerful Lord. Translation again. The personality of Godhead assumed the incarnation of Nrisimhadev in order to vanquish the great fears of the demigods. He killed the king of the demons, Hiranyakasipu, who challenged the Lord with a club in his hand. By placing the demon on his thighs and piercing him with his nails, rolling his eyebrows in anger and showing his fearful teeth and mouth. So, on the face of it, the description that we just read is quite ghastly. And in the transcendental science of rasa or mellows, ghastly is one of the indirect mellows. There are 5 direct, favorable relationships and 7 indirect or unfavorable.
The direct relationships are neutrality, servitorship, friendship, parental affection, and conjugal love. And the seven indirect relationships can be combined with direct relationships, and they support it. Or they can just be indirect relationships which are unfavorable. For example, one of the indirect mellows is hasya ras, which is humorous, or as Srila Prabhupada says, laughing ecstasy. So we can understand in an ordinary situation, if you laugh at someone, that's not very favorable. It's the opposite. It's a very mean thing to do, or a demeaning thing to do. But laughter can also be favorable if it's in the context of a direct relationship. Just like you see a child do something cute and you laugh. So that laughter is not condescending or demeaning, but it's affectionate, probably in the mood of some sort of parental affection. So, in this case, the scene is very ghastly, and even seeing a picture of Nrisingadev can raise questions. If people don't know the history of Nrisingadev, there was an occasion in the very early days of ISKCON in America where one of the devotees saw the picture of Lord Nrisingadev and was horrified. And Srila Prabhupada had to explain this is an incarnation of Krishna. And sometimes when we preach to new people, it may be a little difficult. Again, a very early incident in the history of ISKCON, an important person came to the temple and saw the picture of Nrisingadev and was quite shocked. So, you know, the devotee had explained, well, this shows the triumph of good over evil, which is certainly true. But for devotees, this sight of Nrisingadev is very pleasing. Because the Lord is absolute, so any one of his forms is pleasing to the devotee. And it's described that when Krishna comes home from the pasturing grounds in the late afternoon, his body is powdered by the dust that the cows raise when they walk on the roads or through the fields. And the gopis and other residents of Vrindavan, they see that Krishna's beauty is enhanced by the dust from the hoofs of the cows and calves. And he may have beads of sweat, of perspiration, and every element enhances the beauty of Krishna. And similarly, when devotees see the fearsome face of Nrisimhadeva splattered with drops of blood from Hiranyakasipu, they think that that splattering of blood enhances the beauty of Nrisimhadeva, just as the gopis see the beauty of Krishna enhanced by the dust raised by the cows and calves. So the relationship between the devotees and the Lord is very beautiful. And we can see from this incident how seriously the Lord takes an offense to a devotee. By his austerities, severe austerities, extreme austerities, Hiranyakasipu became most powerful. He was, you know, other than Brahma and Shiva, he practically subdued all the demigods and demons in the universe. He was so powerful, and he created so much havoc. But still, the Lord did not appear. But the Lord appeared when Hiranyakasipu was torturing the Lord's pure devotee, Prahlad. I recall a small incident in Juhu. When we got the news that the authorities in the Soviet Union were torturing devotees. And so one friend of ours in Bombay then, Srinath Jidas, I'll never forget it. We were walking from the lobby of the guest house at the Juhu temple into the temple area. And when he heard about how the authorities in Russia were torturing devotees, he commented that this is the end of the Soviet Union. You know, now that they're torturing devotees, Krishna will not allow them to continue. And it happened. Not that long afterwards, because the Soviet Union seemed like so, it seemed invincible. It seemed invincible. And yeah, I remember I was in Cape Town, South Africa, and there was this news that that there was a takeover, that there was a rebellion against the authorities in the Soviet Union, and you know, the rule of the Kremlin was crumbling, and we couldn't believe it. And His Holiness Bhakti Churu Swami was in Cape Town at the time also, and so, you know, he arranged for us to see the news reports on CNN. And I'd never heard of CNN, because when I joined, there were just three main channels and then one local channel. I never even heard of CNN. And I didn't know whether it was permissible to watch television. But I thought, well, anyway, you know, he's a pure devotee, so if he's watching, then I'll also go and watch with him. And it was like, it was inconceivable. It was the Soviet domination was so strong, it was inconceivable that it could fall. And then I thought of Srinathji's words that, now they've gone too far. They're torturing devotees. This is the end of the Soviet Union. So here, although Hiranyakasipu was giving great distress to the demigods and other living entities, but it was really when he was torturing Prahlad that the Lord incarnated and finished the demon. I'll tell just a little of the history. Of course, Srila Prabhupada explains that in response to Hiranyakasipu's extreme austerities, which were disturbing the universe, Lord Brahma came to get him to stop performing these severe austerities that in and of themselves were disturbing the universe. And Hiranyakasipu's goal was to become immortal. And so he asked Brahma to make him immortal. Brahma said, I myself am not immortal, so I cannot make you immortal. So he thought he could become immortal indirectly. So he placed so many conditions that he wouldn't be killed during the day or night. He wouldn't be killed inside a building or outside a building. He wouldn't be killed on the land, on the water, or in the sky. He wouldn't be killed by any weapon. So he thought that by placing all these conditions, that he could become immortal, and then he could enjoy forever, enjoy the senses forever, and he would be invincible in battle, so he could dominate and control without any limit and enjoy without any limit. So Hiranyakasipu had a son named Prahlad, who was a devotee. And this was the essence of the conflict between the father and son. The father was a demon, he was against Vishnu, and the son was a devotee of Vishnu. And in this cosmic history, Hiranyakasipu had a brother named Hiranyaksha, who was another big demon, tyrant. And he was disturbing the world. And so the Lord incarnated as Varahadev, the boar incarnation, and killed Hiranyaksha. So Hiranyakasipu was extremely angry at Lord Vishnu for having killed his brother. And so, he considered Vishnu to be his enemy. And, you know, he was a great politician and diplomat, and by the logic, you know, the friend of my enemy is my enemy. So when he discovered that Prahlad was a devotee of Vishnu, then he took Prahlad to be his enemy. So, but still, he was a father. There's natural affection, even, you know, demonic people, they have affection for family. Even what we read about the mafia, they have their family affection. So, one day, Hiranyakasipu asked his son, you know, what is the best thing that you have learned in school? And Prahlad replied, you know, Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu, Smaranam, devotional service to Vishnu. So when Hiranyakasipu heard this answer, he became furious. But not at Prahlad. Prahlad was just a young boy. He became furious at the boy's teachers. And so he called these two Brahmins, or Brahma Bandhus, and he said, you know, this has happened to my son. I entrusted him to your care. And now his consciousness has become polluted. You have betrayed my trust. And, you know, you are to blame. You have taught him devotion to Vishnu. And they said, no. We have not taught him devotion to Vishnu. Then Hiranyakasipu said, well, then you've allowed demigods or Vaishnavas in disguise to enter the school and pollute his consciousness. And the two teachers said, we have not allowed anyone to enter and infiltrate. So Hiranyakasipu said, then how has he become devoted to Vishnu? And they said, we don't know. He seems to be naturally devoted to Vishnu. You better ask him. So the demon called his little son, and he said, you know, how did you become devoted to Vishnu? And Prahlad replied, that one cannot become devoted to Vishnu by one's own efforts. And one cannot become, by one's own efforts means by mental speculation. By one's own efforts. One cannot become devoted to Vishnu by the combined efforts of oneself and others. By having meetings of great assemblies, one cannot become devoted to Vishnu. And one cannot become devoted by the efforts of others. So it seemed impossible. You can't become a devotee by your own efforts. You can't become a devotee by others' efforts. You can't become a devotee by the combined efforts of yourself and others. So how do you become a devotee? So Prahlad gave the answer, Naishamatis tavat uru kramangri sprishat yanartha pagamo yad artha mahiyashan pada rajo bishekam niskinchananam navranita yavat. That only by bathing oneself, abhishek, by consecrating oneself with the dust of the lotus feet of a pure devotee who is free from material desires, can one's inclination towards Krishna be awakened. And so indirectly, I mean, there are actually several verses. I'm just giving a very condensed summary. But indirectly, he was saying that you don't have to worry about becoming a devotee because you're too proud. You'll never bow down to any devotee's lotus feet. So you don't need to worry about becoming a devotee. Now, this does raise an interesting question. Where did Prahlad get the association of a devotee by which he became a devotee? Because according to the teachers, they didn't teach him, they were not devotees, and they did not allow any devotees to enter the school. So this mystery is explained that during the fighting, because when Hiranyakasipu began his campaign to conquer all over the universe, the demigods resisted. So there's a lot of fighting between the demons and the demigods. Demons means against Vishnu, and demigods means devoted to Vishnu or servants of Vishnu. And in fighting, sometimes one party gets the upper hand and sometimes the other party gets the upper hand. So at one stage, the demigods had the upper hand and they took possession of Hiranyakasipu's wife, who was pregnant with Prahlad. And they were very afraid that, you know, such a powerful demon, his son, is in that womb. He could also become another powerful demon and create havoc. But Narada, great sage, who's Tri Kalugya, knows past, present, and future. So he said, no. The child in the womb is not a demon. He's actually a great devotee. So then the demigods, they circumambulated the boy. That demigods means they have faith in sages, and so they accepted the words of Narada. They circumambulated the boy and left the mother. And so Narada took the mother to his ashram and kept her there while the fighting was going on. And in his ashram, he instructed the mother in devotional service. And Prahlad, in the womb, heard those instructions. And the fact that he was covered by, you know, that soul was covered by a small body of a, we would say, an embryo, and then beyond that, covered by his mother's body, it didn't impede the transmission of the transcendental sound and message of Godhead. And so from within the womb, he accepted Narada as his spiritual master and became a devotee. And so when he came out, he was already a devotee. So, so when Hiranyakasipu heard Prahlad's answer, then he was determined, okay, now I have to kill this boy. You know, he's against me, he's taking the side of my enemy, so I have to kill him. And he tried in so many ways, many, many different ways, to kill Prahlad, but he was unsuccessful. Nothing he did could kill him. Not only that, nothing he did could disturb him, could disturb Prahlad, because he was always absorbed in remembrance of Vishnu. And yes, when Prahlad said what the best thing he learned in school, he said, Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam, hearing, chanting, and remembering Vishnu. And different devotees have achieved success in devotional service by different of those processes. And Prahlad himself is the example of perfection in Smaranam, because whatever happened, he always remembered Vishnu. And so he was always calm and peaceful and fixed in devotion to Vishnu. So after a while his father became perplexed. You know, he was able to subdue all these warriors amongst the demigods, and this 5-year-old boy, you can't touch him practically. None of his attempts have any effect on him. So he asked Prahlad, "What is, you know, where do you get your strength? Where do you get your power?" And Prahlad said, "I get my power from the same place you get your power." And that also made Hiranyakasipu angry, because he thought, "No, I got my power from my austerities. What austerities did you do?" So, okay. And then Prahlad said, "I get my power from the same source you get yours, from God." Oh, God. That was like not what Hiranyakasipu wanted to hear. So that, you know, everything was just making Hiranyakasipu more and more angry. And then he said, "Oh God, okay, where is your God? Where is your God?" And Prahlad said, "He's everywhere." So there was a pillar at the entrance to the palace or the assembly hall. So he said, "Is your God in this pillar?" And Prahlad said, "Yes." He said, "Okay, I will kill your God." And he took out his sword and he slashed the pillar with his sword, and out of the pillar came this ferocious half-man, half-lion form of Nrisingadev. And sometimes when I tell this story, I make a very loud roaring sound, but I don't want to disturb you gentle souls. I don't know if it's proper in front of the deities, but a tremendous, you know, crackling sound, breaking the pillar asunder, and then roaring like a lion, and that it could be heard throughout the universe. So then there was some fighting. It was really Lord Nrisingadev was playing with Hiranyakasipu. But Hiranyakasipu was so intoxicated with his strength and his illusion that, that when the Lord let him go, he thought, "Oh, you know, now this form of the Lord he's afraid of me. He's not able to, you know, he's not able to defeat me." So he played with him like a cat playing with a mouse. But, you know, in that intoxicated state, he thought, "Okay, I'm going to get him now. I got loose now. I'm going to get him." And then finally, you know, Nrisingadev picked him up, put him on his thighs, and with his nails tore open his chest and took out his heart and his intestines. It's another very beautiful, ghastly scene. and that was the end of the demon. And it's also a characteristic of the Lord that he always upholds the word of his devotees. So Brahma was a devotee, and he gave all these boons, and Lord Nrisingadev killed the demon while keeping all of the boons intact. Hiranyakasipu was given the boon he wouldn't be killed inside or outside. So he was killed just on the threshold between the inside and outside. He wouldn't be killed on the land, on the water, or in the air. He was killed on the Lord's lap. He wasn't killed, but couldn't be killed during the day or night. So he was killed just at twilight. So many conditions, and he couldn't be killed by any weapon, any man-made weapon. He was killed by the nails of the Lord. And so the Lord upheld all of the benedictions granted by Brahma and still killed the demon. So however intelligent we are, we're not more intelligent than the Lord. And however we think we can, like, outsmart him, outsmart the laws of nature, we cannot be successful. So it's better to surrender from the beginning. I think we all have a bit of that Hiranyakasipu spirit in us, that we want to be the supreme, we want to be the controller, we want to be the enjoyer, we want to be the proprietor. Officially, of course, we're devotees, we know the philosophy, but because of our conditioning since time immemorial, we have the demonic spirit, that, like, we want to be Krishna, you know, we want to be the supreme, and we don't want to worship Krishna. We want people to worship us. We don't want to glorify Krishna. We want people to glorify us. So we have that in us to some degree, and especially when we make the effort to chant and hear offenselessly, to chant the holy name with attention, and we see what thoughts come up in our consciousness. And if we analyze those thoughts, they generally come in the category of wanting to be the center, you know, wanting to be the proprietor, wanting to be the controller, wanting to be the enjoyer. So that's there. And there's some beautiful prayers in the fifth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, where the fifth canto describes different planets and that are headed by great devotees, or different regions, you could say, that are headed by great devotees, and how they worship the Lord. And so Prahlad, he leads his associates in offering prayers to Nrisimhadev. And in one of his prayers, he asks, you know, that the Lord vanquish his demon-like desires for sense gratification in this world. So there are external demons and internal demons. And we cannot really defeat any of them on our own, but we can be successful only by the grace of Nrisimhadev. So pray to Nrisimhadev to vanquish both the external demons and the internal demons. And we pray that Nrisimhadev is everywhere. And we say, Hridaye Nrisimha, he's in our heart. So we need that Nrisimhadev in our heart to purify us. Even Well, yeah, a great devotee, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, a great devotee of Radha and Krishna. But he also prayed to Nrisimhadev to, you know, remove all impediments within his heart and make his desire to serve Srimati Radharani and Sri Krishna strong. So we cannot do anything on our own. I mean, really, we can't even take a breath without the mercy of the Lord. We can't take a heartbeat without the mercy of the Lord. And sometimes it happens that someone is unable to breathe, and someone's heart stops beating. So at every moment, for every aspect of our existence, we are dependent on the mercy of the Lord. And so it's complete folly to try to compete with the Lord, or to try to think that we can be independent of Him, when we're totally dependent at every moment, at every step. So we have another, well, about almost 12 hours before dusk or sunset. But even then it will still be Nrisimha Chaturdasi. So we have, you know, another 21 hours or so until sunrise, so we can take advantage of this sacred occasion to purify our hearts and glorify the Lord. And of course, although the first is Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, but Lord Chaitanya says of all of the processes, you know, chanting of the holy name is the most effective. And so, but yes, we should fill our day with Krishna consciousness one way or the other, and especially by chanting. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Are there any questions or comments from this assembly of wise sages and saintly persons? Yes? Hare Krishna. Oh, you're asking what the indirect relationships are? Yeah, so there's adbhuta, that means like wonder. We also sing adbhuta shringa, so wonder, amazement. And of course, vibhatsa, ghastly, and hasya, I mentioned, laughter. There's fear. Like Kamsa, he was always afraid of Krishna. He was thinking of Krishna, but in fear, not favorably. So that's not considered bhakti. And who else can think of some?
Vira.
Chivalry. Like there's Bhishma Dev. He was a great devotee of Krishna, but due to circumstances, he was fighting on the side of the Kauravas. And of course, Krishna was with the Pandavas. So anyway, you seem to know the story. But so, yeah, so the Anyway, so Krishna picked up a broken chariot wheel and rushed towards Bhishma as if to, like, to kill him. So that's like Vira Ras, chivalry. What else?
Why it took so much time to kill Narasimha Dev? He was a little boy, he had to go through so much atrocities. Why did he make a decision quickly?
Well, Krishna says, time I am, the destroyer of worlds, so the time factor is also Krishna. And by allowing Hiranyakasipu more time to try in different ways to kill Prahlad, he showed the glories of Prahlad more, that he couldn't be killed by, you know, poison, all the different things, throwing him in a pit of poison snakes and throwing him off of a mountain, and just, it was for the further glorification of Prahlad, that in every situation he just remembered the Lord, and the Lord protected him. I mean, the Lord could have killed him at any stage, but he wanted to increase the glories of Prahlad, and also give us more to talk about, because that's the Lord appears to create subject for us to talk about, so we could glorify him. Prahlad didn't suffer at any stage. He was totally fixed in remembrance of Krishna. He was in ecstasy during the whole thing. And he's compared to, or Haridas Thakur is compared to Prahlad, because he was also tortured. He was like taken to 22 marketplaces and beaten. And he also didn't suffer, Haridas Thakur. He was protected by Lord Chaitanya. And he always remained absorbed in remembrance of the Lord. So there's a similarity between Prahlad Maharaj and Haridas Thakur.
Asking about our indirect rasas, mellows.
Yeah.
Fear, compassion.
Fear, compassion.
Yeah, that's true. You mentioned fear. Kamsa was always afraid of Krishna, but Karunya Ras, that's compassion. And that's, that can be favorable, but it could also be like, you pity someone, it means like, you think you're superior. Like a materialist, I pity you people. You know, you shave your heads, you dance around like monkeys, you don't have good job. In Lord Chaitanya's pastimes also, the materialistic people of Navadvip, that all these Vaishnavas, they stay up all night shouting, you know, because they can't fill their bellies, they're feeling pangs of hunger, so they stay up all night crying. So it's like that. So pitying someone in a negative sense, it could be like a very condescending attitude. So in that sense it can be indirect. But karunya ras, compassion, that can also be very favorable, you know, to
want to relieve someone's pain. Good. Yes, Rasikendra Prabhu.
But the pious, I've heard it said that Prahlad Maharaj's relationship with the Lord was one of neutrality. He cited, and there's an example of Shantaraj's Prahlad Maharaj. But it seems here the Lord is very affectionate, almost like a child towards Prahlad. And Prahlad like dependent on the Lord like a child. So kind of
the dichotomy there. Mm-hmm. That's true. The mood is like Dasyaras, like a child to a father is like Dasyaras. But throughout the whole ordeal, he was doing service in the sense of Smaranam, and he was preaching to his classmates. In that sense, he was doing service. But he wasn't doing, direct personal service, because we're talking about, direct relationships. Mm-hmm. So he wasn't doing direct personal service to the Lord, but he was remembering the Lord, which is like Dasyaras. Mm-hmm. I'm just responding to what you said. All right, so we'll end here. I'll be around the temple room for a little while longer, but we can end here and we'll meet again later. Nishinga Bhagavan ki jai, Prahlad Maharaj ki jai, Granth Raj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Gaur Premanandi ki jai.